In recent days, our thoughts and prayers have indeed been turned to the subject of war. Around the world, people have been praying fervently for the quick and peaceful resolution to the hostilities in Ukraine. But of course, it's not the only war that afflicts humanity. In truth, there is a much longer, much deeper war being waged, one that affects each one of us directly, with much graver potential consequences. Practicing Catholics know I'm speaking of spiritual warfare. The church militant is engaged in a war that can and often does intensify and heighten spiritual times like the season of Lent. Joining us now to help us understand the day-to-day battles and fight them well is Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of Holy Family in St. Louis Park and a regular spiritual director on The Inner Life, a program here heard at 11 a.m. on weekdays right here on Relevant Radio. Father Johnson, welcome. Good to be speaking with you.
Thank you, Patrick. Good to be with you as we begin this holy season of Lent.
Yeah, very excited for a good and holy season. Well, let's talk about spiritual warfare, Father. What is it? How would you define spiritual warfare?
Well, I think it's great that you touched on the fact that, you know, what of course has been preoccupying our minds is the war in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about it. That's a physical war, but it has a spiritual dimension to it. And our spiritual life has a dimension of war to it. So there's a connection back and forth there. And it's the reason why in the war in Ukraine, we need the power of prayer. And in our spiritual life, we need to do some combat, to roll up our sleeves. And the biggest mistake that we can make, Patrick, is wishful thinking. See it time and time again, right? Gee, I hope I don't fall into that same sin again. Right? Yeah. But wishful thinking doesn't get us anywhere. Wishful thinking doesn't get us from St. Paul to Minneapolis. It doesn't get us, you know, from sin to holiness.
Yeah.
And that's the first kind of, you know, self-awareness that we need to have is, am I doing something more? Am I rolling up my sleeves and ready to do combat, to do battle? Mm. And the first one to be conquered is myself, right? That too often we can leap to, oh, the devil made me do it. Well, let's be clear. The devil can't make me do anything except in very, very exceptional case of possession, right, which is rare. Otherwise, the devil can influence. The devil can put roadblocks, stumbling stones. You know, he can do all sorts of things to try and steer me, but my free will remains in control of my actions. So anything I can do to strengthen my will is going to be of benefit to helping me to not give in to those temptations, to not be swayed by whatever the devil may, in fact, be doing to try and push me away from the Lord.
Right.
And that's where we get to your typical Lenten penances, right? You know, your extra time of prayer, your fasting, your almsgiving. All these things are meant to strengthen the will. Sometimes people look at fasting like, yeah, I could afford to lose some pounds, right? Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a diet. Fasting's not about a diet. It's about getting rid of spiritual flabbiness, right? That we're all soft, and that we need to toughen up. We need to be able to have a strength in our willpower that is able to say no when the devil comes and tries to lure us away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we start out, with the basics of Lent set the stage for the combat that then ensues.
Right. Well, okay, so let me pause just there, Father, for a moment. And you mentioned about how this is what our prayer and our fasting and our abstinences, this is what this is all about, is strengthening our own will. But isn't it the case that, I mean, even isn't Jesus in the wilderness, as we read in this Sunday's gospel reading, isn't it just kind of opening ourselves up? Isn't it saying that, look, I'm kind of going through withdrawal from giving up whatever it is that I gave up, right? But isn't that the place where Satan first tries to strike?
Well, of course. Here's a good thing to think about. Any time that I have a certain sadness, and let's face it, even if it's just grieving, giving up chocolate for 40 days, right? There's a little sadness that enters in because, again, I'm saying no to the softness of my life, right? No to the self-indulgence, right? Because the real battle here is all sin is a form of selfishness, and so that's our self-indulgence that feeds that, and all love is a form of self-gift. but I can't make a gift of myself if I'm not in control of myself. So self-discipline leads to self-mastery. Self-mastery enables self-gift, which is love. So when I give up things, right, that sadness that comes, the devil comes and whispers, oh, you're having a tough time. Oh, you, yeah, that's really tough. Why don't we escape over here? Mm-hmm. You deserve a consolation prize, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's where we go. And so it may be simply substitution. I had a dear, dear friend years ago that whenever he would quit smoking, his weight would go up 75 pounds.
Yeah.
And then whenever he would diet, he would chain smoke a pack a day. You know, I mean,
yeah.
And so what we're doing with there is just substitution, one vice for another, right? But again, it's because there's this sadness that enters in, a grieving for what I've given up, and that's where the devil likes to pounce, you know, and say, consolation prize, here we go.
Right. Well, and that's... I get that. I get the consolation, the idea of that, and I don't know how many times it's played in my own spiritual life. So, all right, so avoiding the consolation prize, avoiding this this substitution that you're talking about, Father. So what's the right way to go then in those situations?
Well, to seek authentic consolation, right?
Okay.
That in fact, you know, one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is the Comforter or the Consoler.
Right.
Right? So yes, whenever we suffer, whenever carrying the cross is heavy, whenever we've made sacrifices that, you know, oh, well, I wish I wasn't that generous in offering this, you know, we begin to have those second thoughts, you know, turn to the Lord, right? Because, again, the whole thing is not, Lent is not a time that I'm going to hold my breath for 40 days, and then I'm going to let my breath out and be right back to where I was on Mardi Gras. You know, it's not about that. I don't want to go back to where I was. I actually want to be new. I want to be renewed. I want to deepen my friendship with Christ when I get to Easter. And so I have to get away from this mentality of just kind of holding my breath for 40 days.
Yeah.
You know, and that consolation that comes from the Lord reminds us that anything that we give up for Him, He more than repays us. Right, and that's not just on the level of earthly blessings, but we need to learn to delight in the things of the Spirit. You know, it's easy to delight in desserts or, you know, whatever else that we might give up, earthly things. But really, Lent is making space to delight in spiritual goods.
Hmm.
You know that Saint Teresa of Avila would say, you know, a saint who is sad is a sad excuse for a saint. You know, and too often, you and I, again, feeling sorry for ourselves for having made some sacrifice, we reflect that. Not only do we have to battle the self-pity and the consolation prize temptation from the devil, we reflect to others our sadness. And Jesus, you know, specifically calls that out. He says, don't be like the hypocrites that put on a glum face when you're fasting, right? And part of it, it's not just play acting, like, oh, I'm going to put on a brave front. No, it's I'm making space for something better in my life than these other things. These other things may be good, but there's something better in deepening my relationship with God, coming closer in union with Him, the joy of allowing His presence to extend further and further in my life. And as I'm trying to push out the things that so often crowd it out, you know, just even busyness, making that extra time for prayer, not seeing praise. How many of us see prayer as a chore? It's spiritual homework. It's a burden. No. Jesus is the one who said, come to me, you who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. Seek consolation and peace in His presence. He doesn't want to be a burden. He wants to lift your burdens. But how often do I have to pray? I guess I really should pray. Oh, I haven't gotten in my prayer time that I promised. And get heavy.
Hmm.
We're looking at God as a burden. We're not yet able to see delight. Which again, consolation and delight are real, but they don't always appear immediately to our emotions, right? So not to think I'm doing it wrong if when I go to pray, I don't immediately feel warm and fuzzies. No,
right.
That's not going to come automatically, you know.
Right.
But still the same, even when I don't experience that, to know that what I'm doing is not heavy. This is learning to lean on the Lord who helps me carry my burdens.
Right.
And
but
I'm
just
have that sense.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, Father, and I'm on track with what you're saying. But it seems to me, at least even speaking from my own personal experience, that the problem can sometimes be is that when I don't feel those warm fuzzies right away, even though, like you said, consolation and delight are real, when I'm dedicating myself, I'm looking to the Lord, I'm wanting to be in line with His will, etc. It seems like that's exactly the way that the enemy then steps in and tempts me with those warm fuzzies, you know, tempts me with the lure of something that's pleasure, something that feels good, something that tastes good, perhaps, something that gives me some sort of a rush. Is that pretty true? Is that the way he operates?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then sometimes it's only trial and error that we figured out, right? Because what happens with those false consolations, the warm and fuzzies that self-indulgence brings, the letting ourselves go with those temptations and turning away from the Lord, what happens after that is there's an emptiness.
Yeah.
Right?
There's
a hollow in my spirit because, okay, I distracted myself, I had my consolation prize, and now I'm empty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know it, by the fruit. Just like, you know, we had in the gospel last week, you know it by its fruit.
Week, yeah.
And so the fruit after that momentary pleasure of self-indulgence is emptiness. And that's where I know that's not, that's left me off worse off than before I went.
Right.
And whereas when we turn to the Lord, we don't have that sense of emptiness, right?
Yeah.
And that's where we see that we have to go there. The other thing is this. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I say trial
right.
and error. How many of us have been tempted? How many of us have made bad choices? How many of us have then experienced the emptiness? And how many of us have then fallen for the same stupid trick again? That, no, we need to know.
My hand is in the air.
I've been down that path before, right?
Yeah.
And it didn't lead to happiness. It's a false promise of happiness that the devil gives.
Right.
And so I need to learn. I've been down that path. It wasn't the way.
Yeah.
And Lent is a great time to remember, if nothing changes, then nothing changes.
Yeah, right.
So I need to make those choices, those concrete choices, to head me closer to the Lord and away from the temptations of the devil.
Right. Only about a minute remaining here, Father. And before we get a blessing from you, I just wanted to first of all ask you, it's the first weekend of Lent. People might still be thinking about something they might give up, some absences they might make to help them draw closer to the Lord. Any one or two pieces of quick advice you might give them?
I'd say be generous, but not too generous, because sometimes we promise something heroic and then we fail within 24 hours. Because we set ourselves up for failure by promising too much. I have to crawl before I walk, walk before I run. So be generous, but be practical. And with that practicality, concrete. Don't leave it in the fuzzy realm of good intentions. Really make a promise to do something concrete. I think that's the way to use the graces of Lent, to cooperate with the Lord's invitation to be transformed during this holy season.
Wonderful. And may we have a blessing from you, Father, please.
May the Lord strengthen the resolve of all of our listeners that they may be generous in experiencing His merciful love and in carrying that love to allow their hearts to be more like His. May Almighty God bless you and all the listeners in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Joseph Johnson, pastor of Holy Family in St. Louis Park, so grateful you could be with us today on Practicing Catholic. Thanks, Father.
Have a blessed Lent.
You too. Many, many great articles on spiritual warfare and about Lent and how to live it well over at relevantradio.com. Also, some great ideas at archspm.org. And any kind of Catholic reputable source there, just go online, hop online, and check it out. One of the ways the enemy often tries to trip us up is by sowing seeds of confusion over Catholic teaching, including in bioethical concerns. When we come back, Teresa Towle joins us to offer clarity to important bioethical issues we all face. So stay with us.